Years ago, when my boys were little, this is going to be one of those sermons that's going to make you roll your eyes, Sasha. Yeah, Bill just gave that a thumbs up. Years ago, when my boys were little, if you'd been around our house at dinner time, you might have heard something like this. Come to dinner! And then there'd be a stampede of feet to the kitchen. And then I'd say, did you wash your hands? And they'd say, oh, we're hungry. Oh. And I'd go, let me see them. And then there'd be six little hands right in front of me that looked like the hands of airplane mechanics. And I would say, come on, guys. These aren't clean. Go wash your hands. And they'd grumble and run off to the sink, wash their hands, come back. And I'd love to say that these days I never have to ask my boys to wash their hands, but sometimes I still do. At least there's no argument, right? Nobody argues with me anymore about washing their hands. But that's kind of what we get today in our gospel from Mark, an argument about washing hands before eating. And more specifically, our passage today is about the practice of washing hands and what that really means. With our kids, maybe they just forget to wash up, or maybe they decide that they don't think this whole hand washing thing is as important as we do. Or maybe for that matter, they're tired of all the rules that mom and dad have been laying down. Maybe our kids are testing our authority. And that's what we see a little of today in our reading. Our text's conflict is about tradition, authority, being clean or unclean. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, are a little freaked out about Jesus' followers that are eating without washing their hands. And they say to Jesus, why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders? They're concerned with the blatant disregard for the tradition of hand washing. Maybe not so much the result. Jesus is concerned with the ritual getting in the way of meaning. The Pharisees feel like they are the authority on all things holy and don't like Jesus and his band of dirty-handed friends mucking up their ancient ideas. But Jesus knows what's really important to God. Jesus challenges the Pharisees and his followers to examine if their human traditions contribute to the divine plan. I bet there was a whole lot of, but that's just the way we've always done it, back to Jesus. But that's not the response that God was looking for, or that God is looking for now and us thousands of years later. These verses are proof that there is a living gospel that continues to teach us today. Tradition in and of itself is not a bad thing. I can understand why the Pharisees didn't like what Jesus was saying. Think about it. What would you do if somebody started messing with your tradition? What if we stopped having the women's retreat or the men's retreat? Or let's just get rid of the vestry or ministry groups or church music or candles or bagels. Gulp. We don't even remotely want to mess with these traditions, right? We hold traditions dear, even the ones that aren't in church. I can't imagine a Christmas without Bill's beloved Christmas village that spreads out even more every year all over the living room and stays up until Easter sometimes. Or New Year's Day without our family tradition of our Lord of the Rings marathon. Or one time somebody tried to give me ham at Thanksgiving. Ham. I mean, what's that all about, right? Traditions are important, and they are mostly positive reinforcements of our identity and our purpose. We each have some that seem unmovable and unshakable and unchangeable. They are benchmarks of our personal, family, and religious norms. We tend to forget, however, that most of the time, our traditions do, in fact, change over the years because we have open hearts. The changes, they might be subtle and we may not notice at first, but our inclusive natures welcome modifications to our traditions. And these modifications are meant to uplift others. But what if there are times in which we don't allow ourselves the flexibility to shift in order to prevent others from being negatively affected by our own rigidity? How can this gospel inform our traditions to consider our fellow humans above the rules that we cling to make our practices more important than our mission? Jesus is challenging the Pharisees to look back at their own faith tradition compared to what God really intended, and that is ethical behavior and not just empty rituals. He challenges the elders and us to question the idea that holiness comes from enacting a tradition. Jesus tells us, rather, that holiness comes by our hearts being in the right place. Honoring God must be from the heart, a genuine act of being in relationship with our Creator, not just an empty gesture. The list of transgressions against God that Jesus recites all reflect ways that hearts have turned away from God. And turning away from God is the real sin here. One commentator says that in these and other verses, Christ urges us to examine our own defiled hearts rather than our neighbor's dirty hands. We can point all days to a way in which we should follow the same old rules, but if the rules are unjust, if the rituals are hurtful and they're not helpful, then we're not aligned with Jesus' idea of what God's kingdom on earth should be. One of my favorite church jokes is, how many Episcopalians does it take to change a light bulb? Change? My grandmother donated that light bulb. We can't change it. We love our traditions. I love our traditions. They feed my soul in many ways. And maybe yours too. Traditions can extend beyond the pews and prayer books, however, into constructs that we have created for ourselves that bind our hearts to attitudes that are set in stone and inflexible. Jesus urges us to be flexible and fluid, to be able to bend to the needs of others, to serve the least of us. Jesus encourages us to align our hearts with the hopeful heart of God. He challenges us to put mission before tradition, to live outside of our ideas of a clean, hermetically sealed Christianity. Jesus calls each one of us not to be bound by our constructed limitations that don't truly matter, but to truly live into God's loving intention for all of creation, to dig into the muck of this world and pull up those who need the sunshine. Sometimes the work of God is not clean. And sometimes that work, and to do that work, we can't really stop to put on our metaphorical yard gloves. Sometimes we just have to get our hands dirty. Amen.